greatly used of the Lord, came to faith out of circumstances where he was attempting to take his own life. As a young boy, he was in great despair. He didn't think that there was any hope in any religion. And then he heard a minister share the scripture that we're going to look at later on from John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also." Because I live, you will live also. And Ravi Zacharias had hope spring alive in his heart. And he thought to himself, perhaps there is a reason to live. So he opened up his awakened heart to the Lord Jesus, and the living Lord Jesus came inside and transformed his life. His whole family recognized that he had a great love for life that he had never had before. Never since then has he ever attempted suicide or been suicidal, all because Jesus said to him, "Because I live, you will live also." The resurrection of the Lord Jesus makes a difference. It has for 2,000 years. There are no followers any longer of Caesar Augustus or any of the great men that lived at that time. There are no followers of them. Most of the ones who opposed Jesus, we don't even know their name. But around the world, among every nation, the name of Jesus is being worshipped today as the crucified and risen Son of God, the conquering King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We heard in this passage about the women who came to the tomb, and they had a problem. They had a problem. Anybody ever have a problem before? This was the worst kind of problem. They believed Jesus to be their promised Messiah, the one who was prophesied about for hundreds of years by the Jewish prophets. And yet on Friday night, he died in the most miserable way. He was rejected. He was handed over to his enemies. Even his best friends ran away. He was alone. And he was condemned to die like a common criminal. Not only was he innocent of a crime, but he had never even committed any sin as the Son of God. And yet unjustly treated, he was put to death in the most cruel and vicious way, suffering physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It was spiritual suffering when he had to say to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Can you imagine the suffering of Jesus, both physical, both emotional, also spiritual? And yet they had witnessed this. And they came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. They left when it was dark, we know from one account, and they got there just as the sun had risen. It was a while of walking. And as they're walking, they're going to anoint the body of Jesus. This was their biggest problem, that their Messiah was now dead. The one that they hoped in was now gone. But then they discussed another problem. How many of you have had a problem in your life, and then another problem, and then another problem? And it just seems like not the heavens have opened up, but hell has opened up, and it just is after you. And it just seems like it comes on wave after wave. Have you ever heard them say it comes in threes? You know, I don't know if that's the case. But it seems like sometimes it comes in wave after wave. And here they are on the way to anoint the dead body of their champion who they had all their hope in. And then they recognize another problem. Who's going to move away the stone? I want to speak to the kids right now. Hey, kids. Have you ever seen a really big stone? Like, not a little stone, but a big, big stone. A big, big rock. How many of you kids have seen a big, big, huge boulder, we call them? A big rock. Have you seen one of those? How many of you kids? Raise your hand if you've seen them, okay? Have you? We're talking a big stone. Now, this stone that the women were concerned about was a great big stone. I want to ask the kids, how big was the stone? Show me how big it was with your hands or your feet. Like that, maybe? Okay? Any of you think it was bigger? Maybe it was even bigger. How many of you think the stone was maybe this big? No, kids? Here, talk to me, kids. You think the stone was that big? No? Was the stone this big? Was a stone this big? All right, show me how big the stone was, kids. How big was a stone? Maybe that big, huh? It was a huge, big stone. Let's look at the picture of the stone right there. Look at that stone. You see, when they buried people after they died, it was different then because the cemeteries were like caves, and they would put the body in a cave, and then they would roll a big, huge stone. Some people say the stone was 2.5 tons heavy. And they had to take the stone and put it on an angle and then move a stone that was keeping it, and then it would roll into place. Who would be able to roll that stone away? Can you imagine a problem like that? Who's going to move the big stone? They've got a big, big problem. We've all had problems in our lives, right? How many of you have had problems? How many of your kids have had problems? All right? Have you ever felt problems inside yourself? Kids and adults, have you ever felt like there are problems inside? Maybe you're worried about something. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you've had a nightmare. Maybe your mom or dad are disappointed with you or upset with you, or maybe you have a little argument with your brother or your sister. Those are problems. And there are little problems, but then there are great big problems. And these women that were going to see Jesus, they had a great big problem. First of all, the one that they loved was gone. He was dead. And then second of all, they had to move away this great big stone. And we read the scripture about how they were discussing who's going to move away the stone. But then you know what happened? Hey, by the way, adults, I'm not talking to you. You can listen, but I'm talking to kids, okay? How many of you adults want to listen to what the kids say? All right? I don't know about you. But when my kids were being raised, we went to a lot of Disney movies. And you know what I realized? Most of the jokes were for the adults. Have you noticed that? So you guys can listen in, okay? It'll be meaningful to you, but I want to speak to the kids today. They got to the tomb, and they had a problem. Who's going to move away the stone? But when they got there, the stone had already been moved away. Can any of you kids tell me who moved the stone away? Who moved the stone away? Do any of you know? It says, what's that? Who? Who is he saying? I want to hear. Oh, like a Power Ranger or something like that? That was my age, right? A superhero, right? In a way, a superhero did move the stone away, because when the women came, the stone was moved away, and they walked inside the tomb, and there was a man there. And in fact, there was more than one man there. There was one man who spoke, but there was another man that was beside him, and they were dressed in the most amazing white robes. So, like, shiny white, really beautiful white, the most white that you could imagine. It was like they were brilliant. And they had these white robes, and then one of them said, "Why are you looking for the dead or the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He's alive." So they found two things. One thing that they didn't expect was they found that the stone had already been moved away. And we find out that God had sent his angels to move the stone away. Now, for God, for us, big stones are big problems. But do you ever think about what a big stone is like to God? To God, all God, imagine what God has to do to move a stone. Probably just like this. Maybe he uses his little pinky, I don't know. He might just think it, he might say it, and the stone is moved away. In this case, he sent angels, and they move the stone away. And so their first problem is solved. You see, the reality is we all have problems, and some of them are small problems, but some of them are big problems. But the reality is God is able to solve our problems. He's able to move big stones. No matter how big the stone is in our life, no matter how big the rock, the boulder, whatever you call it, God is able to move that stone. Can you say amen? But here's the amazing thing. God wasn't able only to move a stone. God was able to do the completely impossible. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, raised the Son of God from the dead. Let's go to the next scripture if we could. If you could, look at this scripture. Soon afterward, Jesus was in a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Let's stop there and think about this woman's problem. She already had one problem. She was a widow. She already had another problem. She only had one son. She already had another problem. There was no Social Security, no Medicare, Medicaid, none of those things. There was no social net of any kind. And she's left alone with no one to help her to make it through life. No husband, and now her only son was gone. You talk about a big stone. You talk about a great big problem. This woman had a great big problem. But look at what Jesus does. It says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Can you imagine saying to a woman who just lost her son and already lost her husband, do not weep? But see, Jesus is able to solve these big problems. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding community. No greater problem faced, I can believe, by any human being, and yet Jesus stepped in and he took care of the problems that were there in that place. How many of you today can testify that you've been in a situation where you had a problem and you don't know how to solve it, but you trusted God and you followed the Lord and you prayed to God and God solved that problem? God moved the stone, and it had nothing to do with you. It was a work of God. Raise your hand if you can testify to that. Let's clap your hands if you can testify. Let's give God praise. Jesus can move stones, but he can also conquer death and the grave and hell and sin and Satan. Jesus has no enemy by whom he is intimidated. There is no one that can defeat him, no one that can stand in his way. He might look like he's down. When the crucifixion happened, you know the enemy was dancing with delight. You know that Satan thought that he had conquered Jesus. You know that the political opposition to Jesus, the religious opposition to Jesus, all of them thought they had won. But none of them are around today, but Jesus is being worshipped all over the world. You can't keep a good man down, and there's no one who is good but God alone. And so the reality is that Jesus conquers every problem. No matter how big the rock is, Jesus can move it. Now, we might have rocks in our lives, big stones, but the biggest of which is this. It's death. It's our biggest problem. And no one can avoid it. No one can stop that stone from rolling. No one can stop that stone from coming in and cutting us off from the light, cutting us off from family and friends, and them from us. It's the biggest, baddest problem that we have in human existence. Some welcome it because they think that life can't be worse than death, so they take their own lives. But they do that completely against nature. They do that only in their deepest despair. They do that only in their deepest hopelessness. If they had an opportunity, they would rather live. There is a desire upon all of us to live. Death doesn't seem like it belongs. And according to Scripture, it doesn't. God didn't create us to die. It was sin entering into the world, rebellion against God, that brought the ultimate penalty of death. But the great news is that Jesus was able not just to move that physical stone, but he was able to move that spiritual stone. And all of the powers of hell, all the powers of death were broken when Jesus said, I am alive. Give God praise, would you? Let's give God some praise. Can we go to the next scripture? Can we look at that? Thomas said to Jesus, and I love Thomas because he expressed doubts. How many of you have had doubts before, okay? All right? Thomas expressed some doubts, and God solved every one of them. He said, Lord, we don't even know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. Can you all say that? He says the life. Say the life. He said, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yet a little while and you will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. You see, when you receive Jesus in your life, you not only gain a purpose that you never had before, you not only gain a reason to live that you never had before. Life does all of a sudden begins to make sense when you invite Jesus in, because God solves this issue of you not being in relationship with him through his son Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, his giving of himself and his coming alive. Because he lives, you also will live. But not only will you have life that makes sense and has a purpose here and now, but Jesus also promises you that that life will never end, that you will have life after death, you will have life after the grave, that there is hope beyond this life. And the Bible talks about a beautiful place called heaven, and it's a place for God and all those who receive the salvation that God provides to us. Can you say amen? Let's look at the next verse, where Jesus says this. It says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. That's a problem. The brother of Martha and Mary, friend of Jesus, was dead, and he was in the tomb 4 days. No embalming, no fluids, none of those things. Wrapped, but 4 days in the tomb. You can imagine what's happening inside of that tomb and what a problem that is. And then Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Hallelujah. Amen. And Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. That means that Jesus can raise you in the here and now and raise you in the thereafter. No matter what the will of God is, Jesus is able to do it. He doesn't need to be bound by time. He doesn't need to be bound by protocol. If you have to die, you got to die. All those things. None of those things. There's not one thing that constrains this champion that whose name is Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection. And then he said, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Can you say amen? Jesus established. Now, Lazarus was raised from the dead right at that moment. But later on, he went through the natural process like everyone else. He died and he was buried once again. But Jesus said that there is a resurrection for us because of his resurrection. There is a resurrection for us that is for all eternity. And Jesus proved that he could raise us in that day by raising Lazarus in this day. Jesus proved his credentials. He proved his might. He proved his power when he said to Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came out of the tomb. Jesus established his victory in his earthly ministry, and certainly by his death and his resurrection, he established his earthly ministry. Can we go to the next slide, if you would, please? This is where we come down to. We're going to go back to worship right now. And we're going to sing, Jesus is alive, my Savior lives, my Redeemer lives. We're going to sing, we're going to worship the Lord. But then, we're going to experience what we're talking about today. After a couple of songs of worship, we're going to invite people to come forward for prayer. And we're going to believe God that the living, present Lord Jesus would do his work again today, right here, and right now. There are big rocks that people have in their lives. And we're going to ask God to have mercy upon us and give us the faith so that we could believe him to move those rocks where they need to be moved, to solve those major problems in our lives. We're going to believe God for some for some answers to prayer, problem-solving God. We're going to trust God to do that right here, right now, today in this place. We're going to believe God for some miracles. We're going to ask Jesus if he would perform some miracles to his glory, not to yours or to mine or any of ours. Even those who pray for others are not the ones who receive glory, because we're only standing in faith believing that when our hands are touch people in prayer, that the hand of God Almighty, of Jesus our Lord, would touch people and provide miracles to them. And God will be praised. Can you say amen? We're going to believe God for some healings in this place. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if Jesus is alive, then why not here? Why not now? Why not with you? Why not your body? Why not your life? Why not a miracle in your family? Why not see the Lord Jesus not only move a stone, but also solve this issue of grave, the grave and death and all of those things? And that's the most major thing we're going to pray for today. I believe that miracles are amazing. I believe that healings are amazing. But there is something more amazing that God does than any of those, and it is called salvation. Salvation is when we put our faith in God and God's provision in the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins and the resurrection of Jesus, and we put our faith in God, and then God comes into our life and he settles the issue for us. He forgives us, and through his Spirit lets us know supernaturally that we are forgiven by Almighty God. I'll never forget the day after I gave my life to Jesus that I was standing in a cemetery after a funeral was over, and all of a sudden it hit me that even though I stood in the place of death, which is a big, big problem, I was no longer afraid of it. I stood there with tombstones all around me, and because I was by now alone, I allowed myself to literally express what was inside of me, and it's something you don't normally do in a graveyard. I began to laugh. Mind you, it was not disrespectful because I was alone, okay? But I began to laugh because it hit me. I knew that I was forgiven of my sins and that I would be in heaven, be with God because of the Lord Jesus. And it just all of a sudden let me know, I'm not afraid of death anymore. I don't have to worry about the greatest problem that humans have, all because of Jesus coming to this earth and dying on the cross and rising from the dead and me placing my faith in him and receiving his love. All of a sudden I realize, wow, I have been given the gift, the most precious gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that was exciting. So we're going to pray for people today. We're going to have individuals up here that are going to be standing here up in the front. And as people come, we're going to put our hand on people's shoulder. We're going to maybe grab somebody's hand. And we're going to begin to agree together in prayer. And we're going to ask people, how can we pray for you? And then we're going to pray to God Almighty in the name of his Son, Jesus, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. We're going to pray that God would move some stones, and that God would give us some miracles here in this place, that God would give us some healings here in this place for his people, not for the building or some religious denomination, but for people who are in need of God's touch today. And then we're ultimately going to believe God for salvation. We're going to believe that Jesus, who is right now introducing himself to people, would have those people respond to him by coming forward to this place and saying, I need to receive Jesus in my life. Then we could pray for people, give them an opportunity to pray, and believe that before they leave this place, they would know that Jesus has moved into their house, that Jesus has moved into their heart, and he has taken away the sin and the guilt and has given them eternal life. How many of you who have already received salvation would believe God for that this morning? Wave your hand at me if you will, okay? Wave your hand if you'll believe that. Amen. How many of you will believe God today for miracles to be released in this place by Jesus? Amen? For healings to be released in this place by Jesus. All right, let's believe God for that. Let's put our prayers in action that the Lord Jesus would come into this place again today. He's already here, I know that. But he would come into this place with his healing and his miracles and his salvation, and that lives would be forever changed because they met the Lord Jesus in this church on Easter Sunday morning. Can you say amen, church?